my shepherd, no need to worry. And when I'm thirsty, you're there to lead me through the valley. Your hand will guide me. You restore me when I'm weary. Prepare a table for me that my enemy sees. You've anointed me. Now I'm overflowing. You are true to your word. You won't lead me astray. So I'll stand and say,
I won't be
my shepherd, no need to worry. And when I'm thirsty, you're there to lead me through the valley. Your hand will guide me. You restore me when I'm weary. Prepare a table for me that my enemy see. You've anointed me. Now I'm overflowing. You are true to your word. You won't lead me astray. So I'll stand and say,
Amen. amen. I won't be afraid from the hand of the enemy, because we know that his rod and his staff comforts me. Amen. I'm telling you, when Jayla sings that part, it's like it just melts in my heart. Amen. Can we just give our youth, can we give them a hand in this place? Amen. We thank God for all of our young people, all of our babies, our children, Tyree singing and Jayla singing that song. We thank God for them. Amen. And that's what it's about. That's what it's all about. And so we just thank God for everybody in the building and everybody in the place. There's a special person here that's here today visiting with us. I'm not going to call her name. Amen. She might be a Cowboys fan. But we thank God for Sister Alice. Amen. We just thank God. We love her. Thank God for being with us today. Amen. And everybody in the building. Amen. Please continue to keep our sick and our shut-in in prayer, even our bereaved families, those that I'm hearing, just different families attacked with grief, losing loved ones. Amen. All of the families, even the Starling family, there are our Dutch lost a son. Amen. And a grandson down in Cuthbert, Georgia. Amen. And Pastor Starling just on the phone with him. Amen. They'll be going down. So we just want to keep the Starling family in our prayers. Amen. As well as the Wright family. Continue to keep us all in your prayers. Amen. Amen. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to the book of John in the 8th chapter. Amen. I'm just going to preach what I have, what the Lord has given. Amen. Sometimes you'll be someplace at night and you'll be rejoicing, right? And then sometimes you wake up in the morning and it's like, where did it go? Amen. But we pray that the Lord just bring it back. John chapter 8, beginning. John chapter 8, beginning at the 28th verse. John chapter 8, verse 28 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. And the Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things which please him." And as he spake these words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then they answered and said unto him, "We be of Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father." Then they answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said unto him, "If Abraham were your father, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. but now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth, and I came from God, neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. And this verse 44 says, Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. For when he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you conceiveth me of sin, convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you believe me not? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And our focal verse will be taken from what the kids sung, and that was confirmation, that you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that sets you free. Amen. Jesus is the truth. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise your name to know that you alone are God all by yourself. And besides you, there is none other. God, we thank you to know that you are holy, you are righteous, you are just, you are omnipotent, and you are omniscient. You reign and you rule. And you're seated at the very right hand of the Father, making intercession for us all. God, we pray that you break my heart, crucify even my flesh. You said, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So God, right now, I pray that God, you overwhelm us by your love to the truth of your word, the comforter, the convictor, to convict our hearts. God, that we will know that you were in this place. Father God, I decrease that you may increase, that your glory will just be manifested and magnified even in our hearts. God, we thank you. And we know that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think of, according to the power that works in us. Go with us. Be with us. Comfort us. Strengthen us. Drive out the hand of the enemy. For it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Just want to talk about you shall know the truth. Amen. And it's the truth that sets us free. And we just thank God. We thank God for even this text and this passage. And what was going on here even in Jesus' day. And you know, we've been praying through some books of the Bibles. We've prayed through Revelations and Daniel and Proverbs and Romans. But when we pray through this book of John, it's like God slowed this book down. And like never before, we saw the opposition. The opposition. The opposition that was in this book of John. And how they hated the truth. Amen. They hated the truth. And in the context, what was going on, freedom in Christ was a threat to their self-made religion. And that's the Judaizers. and the Jewish leaders that everywhere Christ turned, they opposed his miracles. They opposed his works. They called him a devil. And he said to them, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if Satan cast out Satan, that means his kingdom is divided. Because y'all know there's an organization to the kingdom of the devil. There's an organization to it. There's hierarchy. And when the Bible talks about, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. So there are hierarchy, there are principalities. And under principality, there are powers, there are rulers, there are thrones, there are dominions. And each one of them have hierarchies and demons and different things, amen, that they wrestle against. And guess what Christ was doing? Christ was exposing their religion. He was exposing their lies. He was exposing the lie of Satan, the father of all lies, because there was no truth in him. Amen. And Jesus was exposing it. And what they were doing, they were hiding behind false religion. Amen. And they were hiding behind works. And they were thinking they were free. But yet they were still in bondage. And I want to let everybody know, guess what? The worst form of bondage that there is to be in bondage and not know you're in bondage. Amen. Amen. Guess what? The preacher said it yesterday. The things that we're dealing with, we must stand on the truth. We can't cower away from the gospel and not preach what thus saith the Lord. God is getting us ready for that great day, y'all. We're seeing it. And what the devil wants to do, he wants to put us to sleep with the spirit of delusion to think this is okay and that's okay and this is okay. And we want to accept everything and get along with everybody. Amen. And gender neutral and different things that's going on, even in this day, in the commercials and our TV shows and just. And Facebook and the internet and all these different things. But we got to continue to stand on the word. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away. But guess what, church? The word is only thing that's going to stand forever. Amen. That's all it's going to stand. And the preacher said, he said, they might lock your pastor up. And I might get locked up. Amen. That's what this thing is coming to. But guess what? We got a prison ministry. And I know they'll come to see me. Amen. Amen. And guess what? I'll be like Paul and Silas. And at midnight, they prayed. And the Bible says the very foundation was shook. Because guess what? When we stand for what's right, guess what? The Bible, listen, we've got to obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Amen. And that's what we got to do. We've got to be instant in season. And out of season, when people like it, when they don't like it, we shall know the truth. And it's the truth that's going to set us free. Amen. And so what was going on? There was a spirit of bondage and hate. And the love of many waxing cold. Because of what was going on here. Because Jesus was confronting the very lifestyles of these religious people that were in the church. Amen. And over again, there was a woman caught in adultery in the same chapter. And they brought this woman to Christ. And they were always looking for a way to trap Jesus and trick Jesus. And you see the miracles that he was manifested even in their sight. And even in the next chapter, how Christ heals a man that was blind from birth. And guess what? You ever see somebody that when God blesses somebody, or when he opens a door and makes a way or gives somebody a promotion, amen, they get up. That's right, they get upset. They couldn't even be happy for this blind man because it was an affront to the hardness of their hearts. Amen. And so they questioned the man. Then they questioned the man's parents. And then because he was blind from birth. And then they cornered the man again in the corner. And they said, who did this? What happened? And he said, all I know that I was blind. Amen. But now I see. And it was Jesus Christ who touched me and opened my blind eyes. Amen. And it's crazy that these religious experts would continue to ask Jesus who he was. They all seen and heard the miracles. They knew right well that, listen, that Christ was speaking to their hearts. And the word that was going forth was dealing with the stuff that was going on in their hearts. Amen. And the Bible says, listen, the Bible says, we're talking about the truth today. Can we talk about the truth? Amen. The Bible says in John 14, and we were dealing with this last week. I'm sorry, John 16. John 16 says this. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, John 16, 7. For it's expedient for me to go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Listen, don't get me wrong. We're going to shout, and he can do, the Spirit will come to testify and to comfort you. And to keep you, and to abide with you, and dwell with you. But he says when the Spirit of the truth will come, the first thing that he will do is confront and convict the heart. Amen. That's his job. Guess what? Salvation can't truly come without the Spirit of truth opening up your eyes to the sin in your life, to know that you need a Savior. That you can't save yourself. And that's the Spirit of truth that comes to convict and reprove the world of sin. Amen. And I thank God for conviction. Because it's by conviction. When I'm convicted by the Word of God, it's the conviction that leads me, amen, to obedience and love and intimacy. But first thing, God has to break the hollow ground of my heart. Amen. And when I see the truth of what's going on in me, guess what? And it's like the chains begin to fall. The bondages, the stopped dreams and stopped up. Some people got some stopped up dreams in their hearts. Some people got some clogged up roots. Amen. In their heart. And guess what? The only one that can get that out is the Word of God. And I'm grateful for this word, conviction. That when the Lord shows me the mirror of my mess, guess what? I can get that thing right with Him. Y'all know something? I'm just going to be honest. The greatest times of praise in my life, I just got to be crazy. Amen. I just got to tell the truth. Amen. The greatest times of rejoicing and the tears begin to flow down my face is through this word conviction. And guess what? That's a real father. We're going to talk about fathers too. A real father won't let you just make a mess of yourself. But a real father, the Bible says, spare the rod and what? Spoil the child. And whether we know it or not, guess what? Our young boys, our young men, our young girls, they need correction. Stop trying to be their friend. Oh, me and my girl, me and my daughter, we're besties. Me and my son, we besties. And I see some men want to hang out with their sons that are in their 20s. And you in your 40s, putting all kind of 50s and putting all kind of dye and Beijing 2020 in your hair. You hanging out with your sons, talking about you trying to match some women and teaching your sons how to hang out and drinking it up with your sons. No, we're called to be the father. And the mother is called to be their mother. You're not called to be their friend. But you're called to love them. And you're called to tell them the truth. Amen. Thank God. Amen, my children. Thank God. Thank God. The Bible says, whom he loveth. Hallelujah. He said, I scourge. Amen. Every son. Every son. I ain't going to do Geno Jennings today. Amen. But Hebrews chapter 12. Let's turn there. Let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. 12, 11 or 12? 11. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be out your way. Somebody say, you're right. Amen. Y'all, how many know this word is amazing? Isn't it awesome? Amen. Listen, isn't it awesome that the word can expose you to yourself? And ain't got to show my mess to everybody else? Amen. But Hebrews 11 says this. I'm sorry. Chapter 12, verse 3. Amen. Listen. Bible says in verse 12, verse 6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourges every son whom he receiveth. For if you endure chastising, God dealeth with you as a son. For what son is whom the father chastiseth not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all partakers then are bastards and not sons. Amen. Amen. But whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth. Amen. And guess what? The Bible says to spare the rod. The spoil is the spoil of the child. And thank God, amen. We had a guy that hung out with my uncle. His name was Rich Kosky. And Rich Kosky met my father. And he said, your dad had a scowl on his forehead. That he looked like he could rip somebody's head off. But to get to know him was nothing but love. To really know him. And I said, yeah, he was. But guess what? When he knew how to give some whippings out, amen. And really, guess what? It wasn't even that many whippings that I got. My mom knew how to tear us up too. Amen. And we used to get a beating called the spin beating. That's when we would get the whipping. And he'd be holding my hand and spin you around. And my grandfather, he had a paddle with every child's name written on it. Right, Debbie? I think it was about 14 names written on that paddle. That's right. And at the board, it was called the Board of Correction. And at the bottom of the paddle, it said, peace in the midst of confusion. Amen. Listen, and when you look at society in the spirit of rebellion in our nation, and we look at the spirit of insurrection and subordination, guess what? Nobody wants to be told nothing. Nobody wants to be corrected. And I'm telling you, guess what? There's something in young boys and young girls that cries out, that actually looks for correction. Amen. We need correction. We need to be trained. Bible says, train up your child in the way he should go. But that when he is old, he will not depart. Amen. And back in our text, we see here that Jesus was under confrontation, even with these Jewish leaders. And when you look at why there's so much hate and violence and division, and just people are crying out. Hearts are crying out. And they're crying out, and they don't know what it is they need to satisfy. Amen. Even the things that are in them. And the Bible says that God breathed into man the breath of God, the breath of life. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And man became a living soul. Guess what? Validation starts with God. Validation starts with him letting us know how much we're loved. Amen. And Jesus said in verse 8:31, he says, and Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And it's the truth that will set you free. Amen. And when you look at this word, continue, in the Greek means meneti. Meneti. M-E-I-N-E-T-E. Meneti. To remain. That word continue in the word means to remain in the word. To abide in the word. To stay. To wait. Right? Continue in the word don't just mean you're able to quote it. I can quote this verse, I can quote that verse, I can quote that verse. No, but to continue in the word is mean to get intimate in the word. It means to get deep in the word. Amen. And this word comes from the root manthano. And manthano is to focus one's intention, intently abiding in the word. To intensify, seeking, that's what manthanos means, seeking after the word, seeking after the truth. Hallelujah. To pursue in order to experience, observing the word in your mind. And I thank God that all of us ought to have a testimony of what God has done for us. Amen. All of us ought to have just a witness for Christ. And Paul, when he was stopped on Damascus Road, when he saw the wretchedness of his hands, when he saw how he, even when Stephen was preaching, and the Bible says when the word was coming forth, he was convicted to the heart. Amen. And guess what? It's all right if my toes get cut off sometime. It's all right if I have to curl up my toes in my shoes when I can think about people I'm not speaking to. When I can think about how I'm holding unforgiveness in my heart. Or how I'm spending 5 hours on Facebook and Instagram and doing all this stuff and looking at stuff I know I should not be looking at. Amen. Conviction is what's needed. And it's the conviction that leads to the truth of us first. Amen. And the conviction of Jesus Christ. Amen. And who Jesus Christ is. And I thank God for my son. Y'all want to see what else I got? I got this shirt. I got this shirt for Father's Day, right? And not only that, Joey gave me a card with $20 in it. Amen. Amen. And I was just blessed this morning. They got me some other stuff. They got me some other stuff. But in this card it says, it's a blessing to have a dad like you. Then on the inside it says, from you I have learned to appreciate and value who I am, what I have, and where I come from. Hallelujah. Amen. And this $20 was just icing on the top. I don't know how much gas I can get with it. Mr. Tobin says, for me and him. Amen. But guess what, y'all? Us as parents, we're the first ones to establish validation and identity in the home. The parents are the first ones. And I said earlier, the reason why this word father is a sore spot, because many fathers have shirked their responsibility as men. And guess what? I won't even stand here to tell you I'm just the greatest dad or the greatest father. Amen. But I thank God I had men in my life and people in my life. Guess what? I remember more about the ones who corrected me than the ones who don't get me wrong. It's great that they loved me and they called me son. But even they loved me enough to correct me and say, now, son, hold up, son. Amen. And Reverend Ballard and Reverend Adams and my grandfather, he put them big old hands on top of your head. All of us. And men in my life, guess what? Men that just wasn't men in their own home or fathers in their own home. But they were seen as fathers in the community. Amen. That, guess what? It's not just enough to love me and mine, but to be able to possess the love of Christ, that I can love somebody else's child. Amen. Big mamas that are doing it. Amen. And raising children. Amen. And as you hear him say, when Big Mama goes to the store and gets some candy for the child, they don't just get candy for their own child, but for every child on the block, places and people in our lives. And maybe your real father wasn't in your life, but thank God for people in your life that helped to steer you along the way. Thank God for Deacon Wright. And guess what? Brother Leo in his 80s. That even after my own father died, he showed me how to work a spade and put a line on the lawn. Man, Brother Leo can cut a line like nobody's business. But just different men and our sons to be validated that I can embrace another man. That I don't have to have that spirit with my arms folded and my lip poked out to say, you ain't my father. Amen. But guess what? When you, whether your father was in your life or not, guess what? You have a heavenly father. You have a God that sits high and looks low. One that loved you so much that he would be willing to send his own son to die on that cross for you. It's about Jesus. Y'all, I got 2 points and I'm going to get out your way. Amen. Amen. When we talk about this word, manthanos, right? Seeking after the truth, to pursue in order to experience, absorbing the word in your mind, that regardless of what I missed out on growing up, or what my mother did, or what my uncle did, or somebody touched me, or my mother had favoritism in the house, regardless of what happened, guess what, y'all? We have the word of God. The word of God will rock you. Amen. It's not enough. And I heard Reverend Williams talking all the time, just to keep the word on the shelf. But we have to get that word off the shelf and apply it to our hearts. That we may meditate with it. That we may fall in love with it. That the truth might be worked in us. Amen. The first point is, we've got to wait by the gate of the word. We've got to wait by the gate of the word. Proverbs 8:27 says this: when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he established the clouds above, I was there. When he gave to the sea his decree, guess what, church? I was there. Then I was one by him as one caught up with him. And I was daily his delight. We see the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And even at the Holy Trinity, as Minister Tobin calls it, that blessed Trinity. And how they three were in concert, working together in the creation of the world. But then in the creation of the man, they said, let us make man in our image. And in our likeness, that we may bring them into this awesome fellowship. Amen. And then verse 30 of chapter 8 says, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable, that means the livable part. Where's the livable part in the earth? The livable part of the earth is in our hearts. Amen. In our hearts. He wants us to belong. Amen. Livable parts of the earth. And my delights were with the Son of Man. And then verse 32 says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. And over again, we looked at John chapter 14 over the next 2 weeks when he says, if you love me. That don't mean just, that's talking about an intimate love affair. He says, keep my commandments. And then he says, and my Father, we will come and make our abode. So guess what? It's a love affair that's going to break me to obeying God. Amen. We need to know the commandments of God are not grievous. God's not, it's not about a relationship that says, do what I say. But it's a love relationship. That when you know you are in love. Man, when God says, how high? Amen. You won't mind doing. You won't mind forgiving. And I thank God for this word. And the word goes on to say, it says, hear the instruction, be wise and refuse it not. And then it says, blessed is the man that heareth and watches me daily at my gates. Waiting, somebody say waiting. Waiting for the posts of my doors. And guess what? And guess what? Fathers don't get enough credit. Amen. Y'all can clap. Amen. We got some good fathers out there. We got some good men out there. We've got some good brothers out there. Amen. But man is a spirit that wants to dog fathers out. That wants to dog baby daddies out. Amen. And they need to know there's something in that brother that he needs deliverance from. But I thank God, y'all, we were putting up the tent this week and it took us a couple days. Man, and the men came out. And guess what? Did it feel like work? Jake, it didn't feel like work. You know why? Because we were fellowshipping. Jake is the ringleader. He was busting on people. Calling people soft. You're soft as drugstore cotton. Him and Brother Willie and Norman and Brother Jim Mulder and Deacon Wright. Amen. And you got some men out there and Deacon Wright, he was swinging a hammer, hammering away. And guess what? It didn't even feel like work to put up that tent, did it, Brother Jim? And I thank God for the men in community that are continuing to stand, that are continuing to love, and are continuing to take the love back to the community. Amen. Amen. Thank God for them. And I thank God for that. But when he says, blessed are those who wait at the gate of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So we got to wait at the gate. That word must hit pay dirt. And that means even when we were praying through Daniel and praying through Romans and praying through all the books of the Bible, guess what? There were some passages that we would hit. And I couldn't really understand it, but you just meditate on it. And the Holy Spirit brings wisdom and revelation and wisdom. Amen? And you wait and you meditate. Listen, reading the Bible is not a race, but it's a relationship that you got to have with your word. Amen? The Bible says, Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book, and it's written of me to do thy will. So when he says, if you continue in my word, manthanos, continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And when you wait at the gate, sometimes you just got to meditate. You just got to let it marinate. You got to put it on the slow crock pot. And then that word begins to hit pay dirt in my heart to show me the things about myself. Amen. We have to observe this word. Amen. And we're living in a time where people want the surface word. They don't want the word to really do anything to their heart. There was a show one time and they said, you got to go to work on Myra's head. You got to go to work on her toes. I ain't going to say the name. You got to go to work on Myra's toes. Right? And then the guy, he pulled out this big old sander and started blasting her corns and toe chips and stuff started flying up. He had his goggles on. Now he was dressed up like a woman. I ain't gonna tell the show, but he was sanding Myra's toes and corns and corn chips and bunions down. And you know what Myra was saying? Ooh wee, that feels so good, right? So listen, the word's gotta go to work on our hearts. And listen, and it's time to get it off the surface. Listen, everybody ought not leave happy with the preacher all the time. But sometimes the word has to be a mirror, even when the word is going forth, that the word will confront my heart And as I sit there and meditate at the gate, waiting for the post to move, I'm telling you, you may not see it all in one setting. You may not experience it all reading it real quick. But eventually, the word will begin to speak. And guess what? I say it all the time. My greatest times of shouting ain't in this place. My greatest praise and worship sessions ain't in this church. But sometimes I'm all by myself, driving in the car, and the tears will begin to fall. And I think about the fact that a holy God would love me enough to show me my mess and clean some things out in my heart that I can follow him. And I'm telling you, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. When I look back over my life and I see where God has brought me from, the things that used to hold me, the things that used to take me off course, guess what? Thank God, I'm not where I used to be. Amen. I'm not where I need to be. But I thank God I'm not where I used to be. There's a growing pattern of likeness in my life. And I'm telling you, when you can get there all by yourself, when you know the tears are beginning to fall, when you never know why he would love you so much to send his only begotten son to die in your place, that he will love you so much that even the things that were embedded in you, the game of the enemy to try to entrench you and put different things in your root in your life, that God will come and wash them things out. To know that we're not redeemed with the blood of the we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but it's the precious blood of Jesus, amen, that washed me, that cleansed me, that holds me, that rocks me. It's all right that sometimes he's got to expose you to your mess. But what we worry about is our blessing and our breakthrough and our season and our harvest and all these other things. And you say, Pastor, what about my money? You know, what about your money? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And guess what? All these other things will be added. Listen, you've got to know that Christ loves you to validate you. To know that you belong. Somebody say, I belong. I belong. Amen. So we've got to wait at the gate. That means let this word marinate. Amen. And you're seeing it, right? I was watching something the other day and somebody was preaching. And I'm telling you, and they were preaching. I ain't going to get into what the person was preaching about. Right? But there was somebody sitting behind them in the choir. And it was like a spirit. And nobody was paying attention. And this one point, he was looking out. He was talking to people. And as the word was going forth, the word was confronting him. Amen. We can't be that. We've got to let this word work on us. Jacob said, I wrestled with the Lord all night long. All the stuff he had going on in him, on his mama's side, the trickster mentality spirit that he had. He wrestled with the angel all night long. And he said, I'm not going to let go till you what? Bless my soul. Amen. Amen. I thank God. God, will anybody ever wrestle with the Lord, amen, over something you know he was wanting you to do? Over somebody he wanted you to call? Over something you wanted to let go? Amen. And all night long. And the word had to expose him and break his heart. Amen. And so the second point is we have the word must filter out. We must wait by the gate of the word, and then the word must filter out. Amen. John chapter 8, 31. And then Jesus said to those which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And it's the truth that sets, that makes you free. Amen. And they said, and they answered and said, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye should be made free? Jesus answered them, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. And Christ was speaking to their hearts. And the word was confronting their lifestyles. That even he said, and if you be Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word have no place in you. Amen. And that's what we see here. This spirit. Amen. We see that here. And the word, you know, has to confront some things in your life. And the word was confronting them and their lifestyles. And guess what? When Jesus would speak, they said, no man ever spoke like this. That's what they said. Because there was power coming from him. There was power. There was power coming from his person. And guess what? He said in John chapter 5, he said, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, and bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. John 14:11, Jesus said, if you believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for thy very work's sake. Even the miracles that he was committing and how the truth was confronting them. But they didn't want to hear it. But yet they looked for an opportunity to kill him. Even when Stephen was preaching to the multitude, you stiff-necked people and preaching the word and preaching the truth. The Bible says they started gritting their teeth because the truth was coming. Amen. And guess what? We need the truth. We need the truth. You shall know the truth. And it's the truth that sets you free. And what did they do? They stoned Stephen. Amen. And you ever wonder why? Sometimes you're in a conversation and you talk to people and they tell you about their worries and all that. And you start telling them about God. And they say, yeah, I know God. I speak to God every day. But then you start talking about, and one day, yesterday I was under my breath. Jesus, what do you want me to say to this person? While this person was talking, we can pray. And he said, let them know about Jesus. That you can talk about God all day long. And I didn't do it in a way to offend them. But I just had to get it in to talk about Jesus. And you'll watch the countenance change. You know, because there's something about the name of Jesus. Amen. The disciples went out two by two and they came back and they said, geez, they were like surprised and amazed. They said, even the demons are subject to your name. And when we spoke the name Jesus, see, it's not enough just to preach Jesus. It's not enough just to say the name of Jesus. But we got to know how to live Jesus. Amen. We got to live Jesus. And guess what? When there's obedience behind the word Jesus, when there's brokenness behind the word Jesus, when there's righteousness behind the word Jesus, not your righteousness, but replacement and death behind the word and the name Jesus. Amen. Guess what? Demons will tremble. Generational curses will come down. Territorial spirits and hexes and vexes and roots will come down. Listen, and when Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Guess what? He is the truth. Satan is the father of liars. He's the father of lies, even in the beginning in the garden. Guess what? He spoke lies from the beginning. He said, you have your father, the devil. And he was a liar from the beginning. And now he's lying through you. Amen. You shall know the truth. Listen, the embodiment of the truth is Jesus Christ.
Amen. We can talk about a bad street, and they'll put the police, even in our own neighborhood. They know how to curtail drugs and put drugs on the back street. That way, when you drive down the street, right? Oh man, this looks like a pretty good neighborhood. But just go over to I ain't gonna say it. Just go over to the courts, and you'll see what's really going on. You'll see what's behind the territory. You'll see what's behind the stuff. And guess what? We do the same thing in our hearts. We'll put our best foot forward in the church. We can wear the deacon's hat with the feather in the cap and drive a Cadillac. We can be a missionary and sit on the front row with all of our white on. We can sing on the choir, riff and roll and run and do all these other stuff. But guess what? Our heart is full of bitterness and sadness and sin and stuff in our life. Guess what? It's the word that wants to shape the lives of what's molded you and what shaped you. The word's got to get it out. David said, I was born in sin and what? Shaped in iniquity. And guess what? When the word of God comes forth, I got to say, ouch. Thank you, God, for exposing me. Thank you, God, for showing me. Thank you, God, for delivering me. It's got to be the word. Only Jesus. Jesus, that's it. Jesus, that's all. And guess what? We've got to be willing to tell a dying world about this man named Jesus. And when he confronted the woman at the well, he told her everything about her. And she was delivered to the core of her heart. Amen. Man, I can run around this church right now. God is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. I had bondages. I had chains. I had shackles. But guess what, church? He loosed my shackles. He loosed my chains. He set me free. He whom the Son has set free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Guess what, y'all? And somebody about to get mad. But guess what? June 19th. Juneteenth don't set you free. The Emancipation Proclamation didn't set me free. The 4th of July or Independence didn't set me free. But it was Jesus, Mary's little baby, the lily of my valley, my bright and my morning star that took my place. He set me free. Amen. And if you continue in my word, the marination, the intimacy, better than Shady Maple, better than Golden Corral, better than anything, any substance, any lust, any sensuality. Amen. And I could explode in this place because the joy of the Lord floods my heart and it floods my soul. Amen. People are still waiting. Fist clenched. The White House can't set us free. Y'all know that? We got a sin problem in America. There's invisible bars, invisible bondage. We've got to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made me free. Be not entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Get the word off the shelf. Stop playing surface church. Amen. And hide this word in your hearts. We've got to be in love with this word and know it's Christ that has set us free. Amen. And it's the word. Listen, you don't know what the word does? As we sit at the gate and we wait, all those things that were filtered in, the preacher talked about, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just because the house looks good in the front, that's really not the truth of all that's going in the back. Just because the neighborhood you're driving through looks good on this street and that street, that's not the truth of what's really going on in that neighborhood. Listen, and the truth and the freedom of us starts individually in our own hearts. Amen. It starts with us. David said, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And when we watch at the doorpost, we're confronted with the word. Listen, when these preachers are preaching, we need that conviction. Amen. To examine your life. And when he says, if you are truly my disciples, continue in the word. And you shall know the truth. That man of Marathanos, different lies that were sold into us by the devil, he'll begin to shoot them things down and replace them with the truth of his word. Amen. When you look at this world, our minds have been brainwashed by what's going on in society. And it's the word of God that has to cleanse them things out. Amen. We've got to wait by the gate. And the word must filter out. Amen. And Jesus is the truth. He's the truth. He's the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. Somebody tell you to go get a life? Guess what? You tell them you got one. Man, I got a life. Amen. And his name is Jesus Christ. As we stand to our feet, that word has to confront some things in my life. And sometimes, when I talked about the person that was sitting in the choir and how the word was going forth, and they were just distracted and looking off into the distance and on his cell phone and all that. You know why? Because we don't want the word to deal with our hearts. And guess what? The reason why they tried to kill Jesus, but it wasn't his time. Man, there was a raccoon in their hearts. And y'all know a raccoon is territorial. I had one in the attic. Amen. And it had been living up there. Right? And I never forget, it was on a Sunday. When it was like, man, I got to get up there and get this thing out of my house. But it was living in there. And so I said, that's it, I'm going up. Man, I bought a BB gun from Walmart. I got up in the crawl space. And I shot it. Bow! Bow! And that BB gun just bounced off. And y'all know what that raccoon did? That raccoon raised up and got territorial. And the only way that I could get that thing out was a couple days later, we had to set a trap. And we got it out of the house. When they said, we be in bondage to no man, they were in bondage. And if there's somebody in here and you're in bondage, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's habitual sin, whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're faced with, and you want to give that thing over to Jesus, you want to accept him into your heart, you can come right now and accept Christ into your heart. Is there one? Is there one? He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I'm knocking at the door of your heart. As the choir sings, is there one? Is there one?
I love you.
Come on.
I love you. I love you, Lord, today.
Because
you care for me. Such a special day. That's why I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify.
come around for prayer, you can also come.
Thank you.